Welcome to the Transformational Podcast, a conversation between brothers about practical ways faith is impacting our lives. We invite you to join us on this journey as we are learning to let faith transform the way we live. We are glad you are with us today and look forward to sharing our journey with you. Now let's jump in.
Welcome to the Transformational Podcast. I'm your host, Chris, with my co-host, Robert Hurst.
And so we're glad you're back with us. Chris and I didn't really go anywhere because we...
I did make one major change, though. I turned my head around backwards for this
one. You did. And you almost confused me. I almost wasn't sure that we were recording back-to-back. But we have a lot to say today. I mean, the ideas are, I guess you could say, a little bit out of control. And frankly, I know you want to go into 1 Corinthians 9 towards the end. But we need to talk about the first half of that chapter sometime. And I know it's your most favorite chapter, most favorite verses to talk about, because it has to do with tithing, or as some people see it, as giving money to the church, which is another way of seeing it.
It's really direct. It's really important. I think people should read it. We should probably talk about it, but it is my least favorite to talk about because I'm on the benefiting side of that discussion. However, the Bible is so clear, and if the Bible says it, we should read it. We should talk about it. So,
And we'll do that next time, because we actually, at my house, we literally just talked about this last week, because somebody asked me, they were doing some homework, some Bible homework, and they were like, hey, what is tithing? And so I had to explain that goes all the way back to Genesis. It actually goes all the way back to Abraham and Melchizedek, and when he gave him
10%. It's before the law. Yeah,
I know. But let's save that for another podcast. So, hey, don't get us distracted there, Chris, even though I started that.
Yeah, that's your fault.
I know. And where did you want to jump in today? Because when we were talking about it, I was like, yeah, we gotta record another. Like, we gotta get this one on the book. So let's do it.
Well, to set it up, I just want to talk about for the last couple months, I've been working with a guy who is a local trainer here, and I've done workouts on my own. I was actually, pretty intentional about it, but he's put me on not just a workout, but an eating plan. And it's been great. He's holding me accountable. He's asking me, but the thing that he asked me about more than anything else is, are you on the eating plan? Are you following the eating plan? Which I get it. It's so important. And most of the weeks I actually do pretty well. My biggest problem is I don't actually eat as many times a day as he wants me to, because I just don't think about it. I get into a really bad habit of skipping lunch or eating, a beef stick at lunch and just flying by, which is not good for what he's trying to do. So, but he will stay on top of me about it, but he gives me the workout. I go typically, sometimes I go while he's there. Sometimes I go on my own later. It just kind of depends on what works on my schedule. It's funny.
What are you hoping to achieve from all this, by the way?
Honestly, like, I just want to stay in shape. I just want to, I want to be able to continue to wrestle with my boys and play, run around and just feel good. I just feel better when I'm in shape. And,
it's a lot fun when you, you're in your 40s. That's where I'm at. And I'm still, running with or playing sports with my kids. Maybe not at the same level because, some of the fast switch does break down. But it is nice to be able to just even be able to do that, right? And so, but it's not something that just happens, right?
It takes intention.
It requires a little bit of discipline, a little intentionality.
Because here's the thing. When I used to work out on my own, I would still work out pretty intentionally each week. I mean, I stayed on top of it, but not as much as it is now because I now have a daily Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, specific workout for each day. It's not like I'm just...
Yeah, why are we talking about your workout today? So, why are we talking about your workout regimen? Because you want everybody to get shredded? Or did God bring something through your path here, let's jump in.
Here's where we're going with it is... For me to actually, J-Rob actually looked at me and told me one time because I wasn't necessarily following the meal plan exactly like he wanted it. He said, hey, look, if you're not going to do it, I'll give you a refund. I'll give you your money back.
He's calling your bluff, man. He's like, do it or get or don't.
Yeah, because he's going, listen, you've got to either do this or you've got to not do this. But you can't, you're not going to get the results, and it's just wasting my time and your money. Just not doing it. And the reason was is he was helping push to develop more discipline in my life. Because if I was going to achieve and get where I want to go and grow, I had to be disciplined. And that's where I jumped to this verse, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting with verse 24, it says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. Run with the intention of achieving a goal that you're going after, that you have something that you want to accomplish. It says all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. And I would pause there and just say, man, in your spiritual journey, do you have a future you that you have in mind that you want to see?
Hmm.
You know, is there, do you, have you taken time to go, man, in 5 years, you know, I hope I understand scripture better. I hope I am more disciplined in my prayer life. I want to develop these habits. I want to be in a different place spiritually than I am now. All right. So what is the process, right? You ask me, what's my goal? Yeah. What's the purpose of working out? Well, in the same way, spiritually, what's our goal? What are we trying to look like? What are we trying to do?
Yeah.
What are we
doing in our difference. Lives? And we talk about that in our small group a lot of times, that you don't go from having no time with the Lord in the morning to having an hour and a half, 2 hours. Which I don't either, by the way. I don't do 2 hours in the morning. But you don't jump that far, right? And so what I know normally tell folks is like go sit down for 5 minutes and spend 5 minutes with the Lord until that's not enough.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, then add 5 more minutes. But the point you're making, which I think is really good, I don't know that I've actually even asked the question the way you asked the question. I definitely have thought about it, is what do I want to look like in a year? What do I want to look like in 5 years? Like, what is it that I'm trying to achieve? And I think at first I would have told you, like, Chris, I don't have any of that. I don't think about any of that. But then I like go back and I realized, no, actually I did when I introduced my journal, my daily journal.
Yeah.
I wanted to write, it's probably, for those who can't see it, I don't know, maybe 6 inches by 8 inches tall. You know, it's not huge. The only thing I set out to do was to write half a page of observations. That's it. Not a full page, half a page. And I put the date at the top and I write half a page. I try to catch what's going on in that time in my life. Maybe just something that's happening. But, you know, what is it in the Bible? And it's funny. I think I would have never guessed that I would have a couple of journals in the hole. If you had asked me about it when I started it, I was just trying to get half a page a day.
Yeah.
You know, start something small. Anyway,
well, I think that was a motivating factor for me several years ago when I started reading through the Bible each year. It was, man, I hope that by the time I'm age, you know, 50, I don't know, I don't remember, but, you know, as I get older, I want to have the kind of knowledge of scripture that just, it is so familiar to me that whatever is going on in life, I can go, well, over in this passage, but God said this in this part of scripture. You know,
what's funny, Chris? I remember you telling me that. I remember we were talking about this a little, I don't remember what it was, but a couple of years ago, maybe it was a year ago. And you were saying that, you know, I want to, you actually told me your purpose for reading through the scripture was to be to the point where you had a better, enough of an understanding of the stories that I could throw out something like, hey, do you remember Melchizedek in Genesis? And you go, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about, which I know you can.
Yeah, right. And I think that's what ultimately was the little bit of the driver behind it. But it's now, you know, I think this year is number 14, will be number 14. But then I start thinking, well, at my age, I'm 27 with 15 years of experience. I'm 60.
Wait, 27?
With 15 years of experience.
Oh, okay. I see what you did there.
You know,
buddy, I don't do math well. You got to give me a calculator. I'm a Marine. I had to break off. I had to take a shoe off to get that high. You know, at 15, I only go to 10, man. I've got all my 10 digits. I got to break out toes for that.
I used to stay at 25, but I finally got 25 figured out, so I got to go to 26.
I see what you did.
Figured that one out, but now I'm at 27 and you know, trying to get it right. But I'm gonna repeat it till I get it right, okay?
I see what you did.
But that being said, one day, if I get to be 60, I just wonder how many times I'll be able to read through scripture before I'm 60 or before I'm 70 or, you know, however age God leads me. And then if I read through it that many times, like, how familiar will scripture be to me? I think it's just one of those things that I just, I see this future version of myself that I would really love to come to fruition. And so,
And it's not selfish. I think that's the thing that I think sometimes we get caught up in when we talk about creating these like 5-year goals, 10-year goals, 15-year goals. A lot of times they can feel selfish, but in what we're talking about isn't a selfish thing, because even Paul, when he writes this, he actually writes it in a very specific way, which I find fascinating, is he actually says, hey, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. In other words, it's that selfish aspect of it, but he's making a point. He's making a point. He's not making a point that like, hey, we shouldn't do this. He's actually making a point that we should do it because it isn't selfish and it's eternal. It comes with eternal benefit because he says, but we do it to get a crown that lasts forever. He's telling us, compete. He's telling us, be disciplined. He's telling us, what does the future you look like? And then take steps. Take discipline action to do that. Just like this person he's talking about training for a fake crown, or not a fake crown, but in this case, a perishable crown.
A temporary crown.
A temporary crown.
I think that's important to see as well, is that, you know, we set goals for ourselves all the time. We may not call them goals, but we have, you know, the house that we hope to have one day, or the bass boat, or we have these things that we see as these levels of accomplishment in our life.
Which are good. They're not bad. They're not bad. What we're talking about is we're talking about spiritual growth here.
Yeah. And you know, one area, you know, maybe that is an area for me that I've been wrestling with is, you know, God has put it on my heart. He's always put it on my heart to give. I love giving. Mm-hmm. I probably have a little bit of the gift of giving because of that. If you start looking at my life. But it's also made me go, all right, how do I structure my budget? How do I become, you know, disciplined in my budget so that one day I can give even more, so that one day, you know, not so that I can, I can bless more people, so I can invest more into God's kingdom. What investments could I make now that could, you know, bring to fruition, more ability, more opportunity to invest in God's kingdom? So, you know, I'm trying to look at that. We want to make wise choices financially, not just so that we could live comfortably, but because ultimately I kind of have this like vision of being able to just really pour into kingdom work. And so I think there's a matter of saying, all right, so spiritually, what does it look like? What are my spiritual goals? And what am I doing to get there? Because, and so he talks about training, right? That's, and it goes on in verse 26. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I'm not just going through the motions. This isn't just, I would just say it this way. This isn't just religious behavior, right? Yeah. I'm not just reading through scripture each year just to check a box and say I did it so I can tell people how many times I read through scripture. If I'm doing it for that reason, then it's pointless. It's purposeless. That's not the goal. But ultimately, the goal in my life is that it will transform me and that scripture will just flow from my heart, right?
Yeah. And you know, I think I've said it before and I'll say it as many times as I have to, because I think it's very important to remember is that while grace can't be earned, like grace isn't something we earn, it's not opposed to effort, right? It's not opposed to us, you know, taking creating action steps to work to that future you that you want. Because he's telling us, he's saying, hey, there is a crown that you should have in mind, that you are training, you're actively disciplining yourself towards. And so to your point, it's not just religious behavior. It is, I don't know, you know, we talk about transformation and we want to make sure that we give practical guidance to folks so that they have something that they can actually tangibly take away, because there's a lot of platitudes out there of, you know, that bring hope, but don't actually bring change. And, you know, what's the point of that? And so in this case, Paul's saying the same thing. He's saying, hey, when the kind of crown I'm talking about is something that can be, you can actually take steps to draw into a closer relationship and even a closer walk and become more like Christ, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah. So he goes on and just says, in verse 27, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself will be disqualified. I love that. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Man, as a dad of two boys who play sports, we're constantly working on drills. We're working on – now, my boys don't love doing drills, right? I try to get them to do drills. They just want to play the game. They just want to turn everything into a game, and I try to turn the drills into the game, but they see right through it. Because, you know, ultimately they're not interested in the game. Are
you saying you try to trick them with fun to actually do the work?
They're like, Dad, let's just play one-on-one. Let's just, you know.
Yeah.
They want to keep scoring.
No, we talk about this at our house. We's like, you have to do the work, right? You have to do the work to be good at what you do.
Yeah. And so. Why do the drills? Well, the drills are all about teaching muscle memory, right? So that when you, in fact, you know, even with coaching my sons in baseball and their team in baseball, we start the same way every time with a warm-up pattern that goes through throwing drills. The kids don't love doing it, and a lot of times they just fly through it. They don't do them the right way. They just kind of check the box to get it to appease us. The reality is they're not making themselves better because they're not working on muscle memory. I think the same thing is true with us, is that if we just fly through the religious behavior, and we're not intentional in what we're doing to train our hearts and our minds to think the way God desires us to think, to see how God sees, to understand better who He is, what He wants us to do, then we're not benefiting from it at all. Yeah. We're literally just shadow boxing. We are not training our bodies to do what it should, right? Or our minds, our hearts to do what it should. And then here's the part that sticks out to me so much. It says, otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. After preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Now, here's what I wrote down in my journal after I read that, is that discipline will help prevent disqualification.
Okay, yeah.
Robert, this is a big deal, and just in my life, just as a pastor, I would just say with a lot of seeing pastors fall, making poor choices, once again, not something that I love at all. It breaks my heart because I believe any person is capable of making those decisions left to our own selves, right? It's only God's Spirit and His grace in our lives that prevents that. But there's also this process that of disciplining our lives and disciplining our hearts to become more like God, to go after the goal. And for me, one of those goals is simply to finish strong and to finish well. So to do that, I know that I have to discipline myself. Now, discipline's a funny word. It's, you know, I've laughed about this before, that
doing what you're told to do when you're told to do it with the right heart attitude.
Right.
To quote what we learned as a child.
Yes.
But actually, that's obedience. But,
disobedience.
But
I wasn't always great with just being disciplined about things. I didn't really like a routine that much.
If you can't see my face right now because you're listening, I have this really perplexed, like, really? Are you kidding me? Look on my face. That is 100% fake.
I was not one who loved it. Now, here's what's funny. If you look at my life today, a lot of people are like, they think that I'm super disciplined. And I'm more disciplined today than I've ever been. But part of it was the verse that I actually preached, the first message I've ever preached. I was 18 years old there at Fredonia Hill Baptist Church in Nacogdoches, Texas, right? Brother Johnny asked me to preach. This was the verse, for God has not given us spirit.
And if you want to hear more about that, that was in our Tales of Faith podcast. Yeah, it's a great one. So I do recall, go ahead with the verse.
But for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. That's 2 Timothy 1:7. That self-discipline was something that God began to use from that time in my life to start helping me see that discipline wasn't a personality trait. It's a Holy Spirit. It's evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life.
Yeah, that's a huge thing, because I think a lot of times we see it as a, I can see, even in my own profession, we see it, oh, well, they don't have the discipline, and we almost see it as a personality trait, but it really isn't. It's not a personality trait. It's actually a decision, frankly. It's a daily decision.
Practice. Yeah, it's a practice. Yeah. It takes time. I mean, for me, it took me starting to align myself with the Holy Spirit and saying, God, I need you to grow me in this area of my life. And I don't love this, but if you think of the gifts of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and what?
Self-control.
Discipline, right? It's being disciplined about things. And the reality was is that I look back in my life, there were certain areas I was very disciplined about because there was an outcome I desired. I wanted to put on weight one summer, so I worked really hard in the weight room, and Robert, I ate 6 hot dogs a day that summer. I think you were gone to Naval Academy. It was your plebe summer at Naval Academy. But I would eat like 6 hot dogs a day. Mom would bring me home from my job at lunch because I wasn't driving yet. It was right before my sophomore year. I'd put on 6 hot dogs, go change, get them off. I'd eat. And then she would take me to the gym, and I would work out and watch film and run. And at the end of that summer, I'd put on 25 pounds of weight. Wow, because I had a goal. I wanted to play football. I wanted to be better. I wanted to be stronger. And it was noticeable. And everybody's like, holy moly, like, did you take roids? Like, I put on so much weight.
I think, as I recall, I remember coming back and you had like even stretched the old school stretch marks on your muscles. Because you had built muscle really fast. But I don't think that's the point
that in that area of my life, I was willing to be disciplined because there was something I was going after. So maybe the introspective deal is maybe the reason we're not disciplined yet because we don't have a spiritual future that we see that we're willing to go after. There's not this future us that we see that's walking with Jesus that's a godly man and a godly husband and a godly coach and a godly boss and that – people see us as godly, and well, how does that happen? It happens through discipline, through daily discipline. It doesn't happen overnight.
I always ask the question, what does good look like, right? Because if you don't have a good picture of what good looks like, in other words, that future piece, then you can't take those steps. You can't take the discipline steps to get there. And so for you, what good looked like for you that summer was putting on a certain amount of weight to be able to play football. What we're talking about right now is, do you have a future you that you want to see? What does good look like in the future for you? And then what are your daily steps? And so if I have a couple of recommendations from the discipline standpoint, and one of the things I wanted to say about discipline real quick, because I think this is, I don't know if you said it, maybe you asked it, I can't remember, is what makes discipline so hard? It's self-denial.
Yeah.
Because discipline is actually denying yourself. It's actually saying no to you. And no to other things, but really it's no to you. It's no to your wants and desires. In other words, it's, hey, it's time to get up. It's time to do this. Yeah. It's time to do that. So I stink at a certain part of my job, but I have learned to discipline myself to sit there and grind and do that part of the job.
So I would even twist that a little bit. It's saying no to me. So no to me now, so that I can say yes to a future me later.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Does that make sense? Because I think the reality is right now, the problem is we're saying yes to us now, which is causing us to not even, to more or less be saying no to the future us later, because we're not willing to say that to us now.
Yeah, you kind of hit that about, you know, wanting to be able to like, you know, play sports with your kids and the rest. In this case, from the spiritual arena, what are a couple areas that, you know, folks can really, I guess you could say, what are some practical steps in the area of discipline? I mean, I think that's the question. What are some practical steps?
Yeah. So the area of discipline, I think, is something. There's a phrase that you use that I've now begun using is, it's choosing to daily show up.
Mm, yeah.
It's showing up. It's showing up whether you, Robert, I get this. And the people who work out, they get this. There's days if you don't want to work out, you don't feel like it. But really, the habit is built on those days when you show up anyway. Now, that's when the habit is built. That's when the discipline actually takes place. And that's the same spiritually. It's saying, man, I'm going to continue to show up. Not out of rote, but not out of religious obligation, but because I know this is a practice that will begin to change my life if I would just give myself to it. This is something
and that's
that,
the point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's me saying there's a future me and I know that this is the pathway to it. And so I'm going to keep walking the pathway to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's fascinating that decision to daily show up, choosing to daily show up. That is something that you were talking about when we were talking a little bit, it may have been before, maybe it was the last one, but anyway, about you, even with your kids, right? Actually, we were talking about when we were smoked, right? And you said that, you know, you made a commitment that you're going to show up, that you're going to be present. And so it's definitely choosing to daily show up. I think one of the things that is just maybe an observation, what have you here, is that when we lack discipline in a lot of parts of our lives, that it's really actually kind of hard to be disciplined even in our Christian life. And so I say this with a little bit of humility in the sense that if you have an area of your life that you know is like absolutely out of control, maybe it might be a spiritual step to the future. You might be a part of that step is to actually put some discipline into that area. Pick one or two things that you're going to like do a little bit different. And the reason I say that, Chris, is I think when we are disciplined in one area, it is actually infectious. It actually kind of like bleeds over and it starts hitting other areas. And before we know it, we start seeing a little bit more discipline in all our areas. And it's funny, the idea isn't a now benefit. It's a future benefit. It's that future crown. It's that future, what do I want to look like spiritually, you know, 10 years from now, that ability to be able to talk about a passage or whatever. So I think that's part of the action plan. Have you ever heard of...
I would also, those lines, I mean, this kind of goes along with what you're saying. You know, there's certain things I don't eat anymore. And part of it, because I don't like the way those things make me feel. But part of it initially was because they weren't going to give me... They were going to hinder my progress that I was going after, right? That's why J-Rob asked me all the time about, you know, my following my eating plan. I think spiritually... In our daily lives, we've got to understand that there's some things that there's some things that we're consuming that are just holding us back. They're ruining us. It's ruining our progress. And we keep thinking that we're grown, we're 40, we can do what we want, right? But the reality is, there are things that we're consuming that we have to begin to realize that they're not good for our progress. They're not good for the future us. And be willing to just go, hey, I'm not saying it's wrong for everyone. I'm just saying I don't need this. And I don't need this to be a part of my mental or spiritual, my intake.
No, I gotcha. Yeah. And then I think, one of the other things that I've gone through them with our small group before is these idea of spiritual disciplines. It's sort of a quasi-old, we'll call it thought process that I personally believe is very beneficial. I think they had a lot of great benefit, I think, in an effort to break out of the religious rote, you know, automatron. A lot of people threw them away. But I think that what was missing at that time was a future you, a future, like, what does good look like? And so people threw them out without actually taking time to think, okay, why am I doing this? And if it's the why am I doing this is just to do it, then you probably should let that go. But, you know, why spend time in prayer daily? Why? Yeah. Which is a spiritual discipline in the way that the old folks used to talk about it, you know. Why read our Bible daily? Why memorize scripture? Why take time to meditate and think about the things, not a emptying out like the Eastern mysticism style, where, you know, meditating is like getting rid of things, but like actually filling ourselves up with the scripture and thinking about kind of like, you know, what we do sometimes even here on the podcast, like, hey, we saw that one verse and it struck us different. And we actually spent time thinking about it in quiet and asking God, what do you want me to know? And what do you want me to do? Yeah. And so I think there's that, but
yeah, I think along those lines, you talk about what's the future, what does good look like? I would say this as a pastor, I've done a lot of funerals. And you spend time with the family, some time with the friends, they tell stories about the person. And there's so many different kinds of funerals I've done. I've done those where it's with the godly man that every person who talks about, you know, how they were impacted spiritually. And I'm not actually talking about pastors. I don't think I've ever done another pastor's funeral. I'm talking about the kind of men that they were just godly, and their coworkers talked about, you know, how their faith affected them, and their kids and their grandchildren talked about how their faith affected them. And I've done the funerals for people who went to church, who you thought they, you know, were great, you know, men of faith, and maybe they were, that they actually could be. So I'm not, once again, not trying to cast any judgment, but the stories that were told were just different. It was how, you know, the funny time that they were drunk and did this, or the thing that happened where they lost their cool and everybody, you know, and or the time that happened that they got thrown out of the game, or it's funny stories and stories that could happen to anyone. Once again, I'm not saying this doesn't happen to godly people. What I am saying is there weren't a lot of the stories at some of those of, man, this is what they taught me about God. This is how their faith changed me and how it caused me to lean in. Right. I think I begin to look and say, what's the future me look like? Like if I weren't in ministry one day, and I think this is what God's called me to do, but I hope that one day at my funeral, people are able to tell the stories of not what I preached on stage, but the person of faith that I was off the stage. Like that's what I hope, is that it's not about the words that I ever said on stage. It's about my faith being lived out, it's funny, as a neighbor, as a coach, as a whatever it is.
Yeah, and Paul really hits that here, right? When he finishes his thoughts here in this part of the letter, is he says, I beat my body and make it a slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And what he's talking about is he's actually talking about getting to that finish line and having God say, well done, you good and faithful servant. He's talking about getting to that place where people are like, hey, that guy, man, he finished strong. And one of the things I tell people is one of the things I want written on my tombstone, you know, whenever that comes, is, you know, he fell forward. I want to be known as somebody who ran hard after God, ran hard after him. And then if I fall, I want to auger in face first, because I ran so hard after him that's the direction I was going when I died. And, you know, so I think that's the idea. And what does good look like? And then it goes back to the idea which you talked about, is showing up daily and starting to insert those things, not religious acts, but religious disciplines, to start shaving off the edges and having that transformational time with the Lord, because we don't want to end in disqualification. And we certainly don't want to end with some perishable crown. We want the thing that God promised us for those who strive hard after him and live for him. And so if you're listening and you're like, okay, well, what do you want? Like, what does that mean? Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. It means not being disciplined just in your spiritual life, because that's important, and starting to add a few little bits, showing up, reading your Bible, showing up and praying, showing up in your small groups, showing up in your church, showing up in service, showing up in your family. It's not just that. It's actually showing up in your actual personal life. You know, start shaving off some edges. Like, be disciplined about when you get up or go to bed. Be disciplined about what you eat. Be disciplined about drinking enough water. Be disciplined about all of that stuff, because your discipline actually, it just kind of covers all over. Like, it just starts weaving in and out. And the people that I know that I'm like, man, that dude followed God. He wasn't just disciplined in his spiritual life. It actually was so infectious. It was throughout his entire, permeated his entire being. And so if you're like, okay, well, well, okay, I can't jump straight there. Yeah, I get it. Neither can I. It's been, I'm still not there. I'm still shaving off edges. Here's what I tell you. Identify an area, shave that edge off. And so, Chris, I'll give you the kind of the final thought on this one. But when we started talking about it, I was like, oh, yeah, we definitely need to talk about this one, because discipline, I think, is one of those ones that is, you know, to Paul, it gets us to the end where we're not disqualified and we get to stand before God and have him say, well done.
Yeah. You know, for me, it's the eye of the tiger. It's the thrill of the fight. Rising up to the challenge of a rival. I say that somewhat kidding, but at the same time, it's understanding that the reason we would ever be disqualified, it is a battle. It's a fight. We do have a rival.
Absolutely.
He doesn't quit because you don't rise up to the challenge.
Yeah.
And in fact, he keeps you from experiencing the full and satisfying life, from the future you that God desires for you. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's saying, man, lean forward, choose discipline daily, and just let God transform you. It's about transformation. It's letting God transform you, choosing to daily practice this discipline in our lives, and just watch God work.
Amen.
Thank you for taking time to join us today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged in your own journey as you let faith transform the way you live. If you enjoyed hanging with us today, let us know by leaving us a 5-star review and sharing our podcast with others. We look forward to discussing what God is doing in our lives in our next episode.